dear friends. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and welcome to All Things Murder. Welcome to All Things Murder, the show that dives into real true crime cases that inspired pop culture movies and shows we know today. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and if you're trying to get in shape this summer, then you can always hire a trainer. Just make sure that trainer isn't trying to rob or kill you. If you've seen the 2013 film Pain and Gain, then you may already know of the Sun Gym Gang, who are responsible for the murders of Frank Grisa and Christina Ferdin, along with the kidnapping, extortion, and attempted murder of Mark Schiller. Listener's discretion is advised. If you're a fan of horror movies or true crime, or perhaps both like myself, don't forget to like and subscribe. Also, don't forget to check us out on YouTube at All Things Murder. New episodes on Thursdays. The movie Pain and Gain stars Mark Wahlberg as Daniel Lugo, Anthony Mackie as Adrian Dorval, and Dwayne Johnson as Paul, who is based off Jorge Delgado, is based off the actual events by the Sun Gym Gang. In 1993, Daniel Lugo was the manager of the Sun Gym, which was a bodybuilder hangout in Miami Lakes, Florida. In 1991, Lugo was arrested and pled guilty to fraud, serving a 15-month sentence in addition to a 3-year federal probation period. He was convicted of fraud for pretending to be part of a Hong Kong bank looking to invest in American small businesses. The scheme involved collecting upfront fees for loan insurance and then not delivering any loans. Yeah, can't do that. It's super illegal. Noel, or Adrian Dorval, worked part-time at the gym alongside Daniel. During 1994, Carl Weeks moved from New York to Miami to live with his girlfriend's cousin, Stevenson Pierre. Now, Pierre had been hired by Daniel in February of 1994 to create a collection agency for overdue gym membership payments. When this didn't work out, he remained at the gym as a back office manager in the weight room before ending up as a desk clerk. Jorge Delgado worked with Daniel Lugo as his personal trainer at the Sun Gym. It was Jorge's relationship with Daniel that caused a rift between Jorge and the Sun Gym's gang's first victim, Mark Schiller. Now, Jorge Delgado and Mark Schiller had been business partners since about 1991, and Mark Schiller trusted Jorge so much that he knew the alarm codes and the layout of Mark Schiller's home. So if you cross a business partner, I mean, what do you think they're going to do with your address? Send hate mail? No. In October of 1994, Daniel proposed to Adrian, Carl, and Stevenson that they should kidnap Mark Schiller.
Like, yeah, let's kidnap a guy. No.
Daniel claimed that Schiller had stolen money from him and their friend Jorge Delgado. So the group agreed to kidnap Schiller. At another meeting a few days later, Jorge agreed to plan to abduct Schiller and force him to sign over his assets and potentially killing him.
We might just get him to sign all this stuff up. We don't need to kill him, but we, like, should kill him.
Jorge was able to give them specific information about Schiller's house, including the codes. The gang had varying of plans and made several attempts to kidnap Schiller, but in total, there were 7 failed abductions. 7. On Thursday, November 14th of 1994, Adrian and Carl dropped Stevenson and recruited a guy named Mario Sanchez, or Big Mario, who used to work at the Sun Gym. He was a weightlifting instructor and a licensed Florida private eye. That same afternoon, Mark Schiller was waiting for a prospective buyer at the Slotsky's franchise that he owned. You don't know what Slotsky's is? A sandwich place like Jimmy John's? They have really good subs, though. Slotsky's is pretty good. At 4 p.m. when the buyer still didn't show up, Mark was like, okay, I'm just gonna go home. And he was grabbed by 3 men while walking across the parking lot, who stunned him with tasers and then started beating him up and forced him in the van. The Sun Gym Gang took Mark Schiller to Jorge's warehouse. That evening, they retrieved his car from the deli parking lot and then drove it to the warehouse. That first night, they made Schiller call his wife and tell her to go with his children to Colombia so that the guys would have access to his house. Then they demanded that he confirmed his house alarm code and the locations of his money. That's when he realized that Jorge was involved. They also demanded that he signed over his assets. He repeatedly signed papers that he could not see. The documents were then notarized by Sun Gym owner John Neese. Initially planned as a two-day abduction, the abduction went over weeks as they converted assets from Switzerland and the Cayman Islands. Like, oh, we'll just knock this out in 2 days.
Several weeks later.
The last money transfer was made on December 10th. The gang planned to get Schiller drunk over the past 2 days and send him out in his car in a fatal car crash,
making it look like he was a DUI driver. Like, oh, hey, nothing to see here.
At 2:30 a.m. on December 15th, after 3 days of forced drinking, Mark Schiller was placed into the passenger seat of his car while Daniel was driving, with Carl and Adrian following in their Camry. A crash site was chosen about 3 blocks south of Schlotsky's. Mark was then strapped into the driver's seat, and then Daniel moved into the passenger side and just put his foot on the gas pedal and steered the vehicle towards a concrete utility pole, jumping out just before the collision. When Daniel inspected the wreckage, Mark Schiller was still alive, but unconscious. So they then splashed gasoline over on him and lit him on fire. However, Mark Schiller opened the door and climbed out of the car. These guys are like, this guy just won't die. They then ran him over twice. Convinced that he was finally dead, they sped away from the scene. Mark Schiller, however, survived and was rushed to the hospital where doctors operated to remove his spleen. When he regained consciousness, a surgeon said that he had been in an accident. Mark replied that he had been kidnapped and tortured. As the doctors note, Schiller's credibility was undermined because he entered the hospital as a suspected DUI case. You're like, no one's gonna listen to you, sir. You're clearly drunk. Meanwhile, the Sun Gym gang, after hearing of no one being admitted to the morgue, like he is not dead, they started calling around the area hospitals. They found out that Mark Schiller was at South Miami Hospital and in a critical but stable condition. So they went and visited the hospital, intending to finish the job and kill him, but he was already transferred to Jackson Memorial Hospital. By early January of 1995, Daniel moved into Mark Schiller's home that D&J International now owned, a bohemian company set up by Daniel Lugo the year before. He told residents of the neighborhood that his name was Tom, and he and the other gang members were members of the U.S. security forces. Like, yeah, big security guys here. Don't ask questions. According to them, Mark Schiller had run into legal trouble and was deported along with his family. The house was now confiscated and became government property.
Neighbors gonna be like, oh yeah, whatever. Wow, crazy.
The gang had amassed about $2.1 million in cash, real estate, credit card charges, and goods. They were just blowing through this money. Through Adrian Dorbell, the gang were informed of another wealthy man, a Hungarian Frank Griga, who'd made his fortune by running a phone sex empire. Through a past girlfriend, Adrian had been introduced to Attila Whelan, who knew Frank and introduced Adrian and his cousin, Daniel Lugo, to Frank on May 20th of 1995. Adrian convinced Daniel to form a plan to kidnap and extort the couple. At this meeting, Daniel and Adrian posed as serious businessmen, offering Frank investment opportunities. Daniel involved his girlfriend, Sabina Petruski, who believed that Daniel was a CIA agent and that she was assisting him in a mission to capture a Hungarian businessman who was guilty of using women for sex and circumventing U.S. tax laws. So he tricked her into being like, it's a sting operation. On May 25th, 1995, after several meetings, Adrian killed Frank during a fight at his apartment. The gang planned to bring Frank back to the warehouse where they could begin to extort him as they did with Mark Schiller. However, they were frustrated in this plan when they accidentally killed the victim early. Yeah, I'm gonna say that's not according to plan at all. Now, Christina Furton, who was Frank's girlfriend, was also at the apartment talking to Daniel in a separate room while Adrian and Frank were discussing in another room. After witnessing her boyfriend now being murdered, she was injected with Rompon, which was a horse tranquilizer, by Daniel. The gang began to attempt to extract information from her regarding the codes in which to enter Frank's home, while they continued to inject her with horse tranquilizer. After this, she just stopped supplying them with information, and after the third dose of tranquilizer was administered, she died. The next day, May 26th of 1995, Frank's body was concealed in Mark Schiller's stolen couch and his girlfriend Christina's body in a U-Haul clothing box. Both were placed in the back of a van, and Jorge, Daniel, and Adrian drove to Daniel's warehouse. It was there that they dismembered and disposed of the bodies of Frank and Christina, with Adrian doing most of the work, as it was his fault. On May 28th of 1995, Daniel, Adrian, and a third man, who did not know that there were torsos and limbs in a metal drum, took them to a remote area in Dade County. Another drum containing heads, hands, and feet were deposited in the Everglades. Their downfall. After this ordeal, Mark Schiller hired a Miami PI investigator, Ed Dubois, to investigate his kidnapping and missing finances. At the same time, he remained in Colombia. When Dubois initially brought Mark's ordeal to the Miami police, they were skeptical and didn't believe Mark's story.
Remember, he was a DUI.
Therefore, they only made minor inquiries into the case. The morning after the disappearance of Frank and Christina, housekeeper Esther Toth arrived at Frank's house, and she was shocked to find that their dog was barking with no one around, sparking her suspicions, like, where is everyone? After some time, the Golden Beach Police Department were called. At 7:30 a.m. on May 31st, 1995, Lloyd Alvarez, who is a friend of Frank's, spotted Frank's yellow Lamborghini traveling in a convoy between two other cars. Said, whoa, yellow Lamborghini, pretty obvious car color. Someone was going to see you. He followed the trio of cars and recognized Daniel Lugo in the Mercedes. Beatrice Whalen and Attila Whalen were contacted by police, who began talking to him. 8 days after the disappearance of Griga and Furton, Captain L. Harper phoned Ed Dubois, and they began to cooperate with the police investigation. Interesting case here. On Friday, June the 2nd, Mark Schiller returned to Miami, 2 months after he'd first told the investigators his story. The next morning, Metro-Dade police served warrants on the houses of Daniel Lugo, Jorge Delgado, Noel, Adrian Dorval, and John Meese. Daniel had already fled to the Bahamas, but was arrested 5 days later in Nassau by a multi-agent task force, who then brought him on a commercial flight back to Miami. On June 10th, Daniel agreed to reveal the hiding place of the bodies in return for the police mentioning he was helpful to a jury. See, I helped you. This is where they are. He brought them to the submerged barrels in southwest Miami. However, the drums did not contain the victim's head, hands, or feet, which were crucial to the identification. Following this event, Daniel ceased cooperation with the police. Like, dude, what the hell? The body of Ferdinand was later identified through her breast implant serial number, which was matched to the records held by her plastic surgeon. No one thinks to check the booby bags. Police also arrested Carl Weeks and Stevenson Pierre. The trial. The trial, which began on February 24th of 1998, was the longest and most expensive criminal trial in the history of Dade County. It featured more than 1,200 pieces of physical evidence and 98 witnesses. On October 2nd of 1996, Daniel Lugo was indicted on 46 counts and pleaded guilty and sentenced to death. Noel Adrian Dorval was convicted of 2 first-degree murders and was sentenced to death. John Meese was convicted of multiple counts, including conspiracy to commit racketeering, and sentenced to 30 years imprisonment, yet he died of a stroke in 2004. In return for testifying in favor of the state, Jorge Delgado was sentenced to 2 prison terms of 5 and 15 years. He only served 7 years in jail and was released from the Everglades Correctional Institution in West Dade on September 27th of 2002. In 2008, he was arrested again for felony grand theft, receiving 1 year of probation. Carl Weeks was convicted and sentenced to 10 years in prison, yet he was released on May 15th of 2002. Stevenson Pierre was convicted, sentenced to 7 years in prison. He was released in May 24th of 2001. John Raimondo was indicted on 1 count of conspiracy to commit racketeering, first-degree murder of Christina Furton, kidnapping of Christina Furton, and attempted extortion. He was convicted to 1 count of kidnapping and was sentenced to 8 years and was released in 2002. He was the third man. As Mark Schiller left the courthouse after testifying against his torturers, Federal agents arrested him for Medicare fraud. Yeah.
On March 17th of 1999, Mark Schiller pleaded guilty to one count of fraud. He was sentenced to 46 months imprisonment. He was released in 2001, and Mark claims that he was innocent but pleaded guilty because he just had no fight left in him. I mean, how could you after you've been kidnapped, you've been robbed, been tortured, someone tried to kill you? Look, it's been a whole deal. Now, the movie Pain and Gain, there are some comic aspects to the bungling of the Sunjim gang. The movie is honestly hilarious, but remember, their heinous crimes of kidnapping, torture, and murder are anything but humorous. But still, go check out that movie.
It's a really good movie.
And that is the story of the Sunjim gang. Rest in peace to the victims. Thank you all so much for joining me. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and don't forget to tune in next week for a new All Things Murder, if you dare.